So, hi, my name's Nicole.
Hi, I'm Monica.
And we're two fangirls who knit while we're watching stuff. So this is our podcast, While We Were Knitting.
This month, we watched Newsies. And just to give a little summary up front of what Newsies is about, Newsies is the fictional story of the 1899 newsboy strike, starring a young Christian Bale as Jack Kelly, the orphan leader of the Manhattan Newsboys. And after the movie opens, we got a little bit of the business setup in the opening. Jack joins forces with David Jacobs, another 17-year-old who's just taken up the trade to help his family make ends meet. They start working together to sell quote-unquote papes. I will be saying papes a lot, Monica. You just need to accept that into your life because it's a very funny way to say that. But Joseph Pulitzer decides to raise the price the Newsies have to pay up front in order to make more profits. In response to their wealthy boss squeezing them, Jack and David become the leaders of a Newsies strike. And surprisingly, for a Disney movie from 1992, the movie is pro-union, anti-corporate interests, and anti-cop. Also, it is a musical. So that's a little fun fact before we start talking about the knitting, Monica. Christian Bale apparently didn't know it was a musical until after he had already signed on to play the lead role.
Oh my. I after having watched that, I can believe it.
So for this movie, I was knitting the Age of Brass and Steam Kerchief by Orange Flower Yarns. What were you knitting, Monica?
I was knitting the Autumn Dreamer hat. And I would have to look up who it is, but I have it. The Autumn Dreamer hat by Kalura.
Kalura, huh. Yeah. So let's go back to that. I can understand he did not. The funniest thing about this movie is Christian Bale, like, isn't a very good singer or a very good dancer, but he has a lead in a musical.
Yes.
It's so good.
There was definitely a moment where I was like, he seems super enthusiastic, but that's about the best thing that can be said about his singing right now.
Yep. So yep. I had not actually seen this movie as a child. This is not part of my childhood. I haven't seen it until like this summer, basically, the summer of 2020 as an adult. And the first time I watched this movie, I was just like, he can't sing. Like, he's not a good singer. Like, why do they have this child singing like all these solos? And I have since watched it two more times and I genuinely love the soundtrack. I think it's a great soundtrack. And I've like incepted myself into being like, no, this is good. I am enjoying this, even though he can't sing.
No.
He can't sing at all.
Yeah, it was definitely, it was my first time seeing it. I knew there was a Broadway musical, but I don't think I knew that the Broadway musical was actually based on a movie.
Yeah.
And I had never seen the musical either, even though I had always sort of meant to. Though one of the things that I found interesting is that I'm pretty sure the musical is entirely staffed by adults, not kids.
Yes.
So visually, I'm not sure how that would work on the stage, but it worked very well. In the actual show itself.
No, I mean, like, obviously, we've discussed Christian Bale's inadequacies as a singer and dancer, but, like, there's a lot of, like, little dancers who are doing a good job in the background and, like, dancing their hearts out, and there's that, one of the scenes in the, it's not like a diner, but, like, in the kind of pseudo-diner thing, where they're, like, all dancing on the tables with the reporter, Denton, like, that's, like, some good dancing.
Yeah. So. Oh no, their dancing is excellent, but that scene where Christian Bale is dancing by himself, pretending to go to Santa Fe, I was like, what is happening here?
Yeah, no, it's quite funny. No.
Also, what is it about Santa Fe and New York? I was definitely getting Rent vibes.
No, well, the funny thing about this movie is just like, it's a very New York movie for obvious reasons. It's set in New York. It's like also a very specific time in New York. It's like, these are the, you know, like Jack Kelly, whose real name is not Jack Kelly. It's like something Sullivan, but whatever.
Francis Sullivan.
Francis Sullivan is very Irish. You're like, mm-hmm. oh, like this is a child whose grandparents came over during the potato famine and have the family's just been in New York for the last couple of generations. And they have kind of the same accents, speaking of things that are like, what is going on? What is happening to me? Like the accents in this movie are like Martin Scorsese, Gangs of New York, really just like insane New York accents. And Christian Bale, bless his heart, is just giving that accent. He's just like, I'm here, I'm doing it. And I'm like, okay.
What yep. it's worth, yes.
What it's worth, he's doing the accent that all these kids are doing. But the funny part is that like the other like main character, David, yeah, doesn't have any accent. And I'm watching this and my family is like, part of the family is Jewish and Ashkenazi and would have like kind of been that same as Davy's family, and part of the family, my family is Irish. And I'm watching that and I'm like, okay, listen, the fact that Davy and the rest of the Jacobs family have like what is basically a standard, business standard, like American accent from the 1992, from the 20th century, mm-hmm. is possibly the wrongest accent in this movie, filled with wrong accents. Because if you think about it, this is like Bernie Sanders' grandparents. Like, think of Bernie Sanders' accent and like be like, do we think that the people who produced Bernie Sanders had the standard American business accent? Because no, they didn't. Because my grandpa has that accent too. And I'm like, no. Like, his parents spoke Yiddish. That was not, English was not their first, would have been their first language. So it's very funny to me that, like, of all the accents, those are the wrongest, quote-unquote, wrongest for the time.
You know, but, and that didn't occur to me, because I did notice that everyone in his family had the same accent. So I was like, oh, all right. But yeah, no one else did.
No, everybody has insane accents. And, like, the fact that Davy doesn't have an insane accent is actually wrong. But it's very funny.
It's okay. Like, he's supposed to be the brain.
He is supposed to be the brain. Davy's the smart one. He's only become a newsie because his father got injured in the factory and then they laid him off. These can't trust bosses is the other theme of this movie.
And there was no union to protect his father, and that's why he was laid off.
It's true. It's true. It's like it's wild. This is a Disney movie. I know we keep talking about all these things that are weird, but like the fact that Disney was like, actually this movie, which loves unions and hates corporations and is like very, very not into cops, this is the movie for us.
Oh, and then the song that the vaudeville singer sings, which has all these not at all hidden like references to sex. Yeah. I was like, wait, is this really a Disney movie? Oh, it is. A Disney movie. Yeah. We're just hiding all these euphemisms.
Barely. Barely. But the one thing that they did do, which is like classic, it's not even classic Disney, it's just like classic every movie, is that they gave Davy a sister because they were like, there's too much chemistry between our two leads of the same sex, therefore we need to introduce a sibling.
You know, I was thinking that exact same thing, because I was like, oh, of course he has a sister. Of course this idiot is going to hit on the sister. Why is it ever a good idea to hit on the sister of your best new pal? It is never a good idea.
Never.
I expected there to be a horrible blowout sometime at the like later on in the movie, and I was shocked when there wasn't.
Yeah, no, it's just
they did
that
have good chemistry, though.
They did have good chemistry. I was like, these two crazy kids, they just run into each other and fall in love selling papes on the streets of New York.
Yes, they had excellent chemistry, but I was like, oh, nope, there's going to be a female. There is a female.
Yep. Whenever there's like that extra sibling, you're like, oh, guys, come on. And I mean, again, it was 1992. Yeah. But like,
I mean, like, I would not have expected any differently at all.
No.
But I was like, hey, y'all have real good chemistry. Well done.
They do.
Girl, I don't know. But the rest of them, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she is, like, they only have, like, two major female characters in this movie. This movie is very into the friendship of, like, boys and young men, which, to be clear, is a topic that, like, I am also, like, what is going on in these homosocial environments? And like, I'm always very interested in that as well, because it's not a world I can access like in person. So on screen, I'm always like, what's happening? What are the boys doing? What are the men doing? What are they up to out there in the world? But because of that, they have like Nita, who's Nita, whatever, the singer, the one who's singing about sex. And then they have the sister, and those are your like two female characters, and that's kind of it. But it is very funny. And the nice thing about watching it, I'm not going to tell you to watch it multiple times. It's something that I'm doing to myself, of the choice that I'm making because of who I am as a person. But the nice thing about watching it multiple times is like you get to know more about like kind of the background characters, and you're like, oh yeah, that kid. Like,
oh, I loved the Brooklyn kid.
Spot Conlon.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Okay, my friend Rachel.
The angry Brooklyn boy.
Yes. Spot Conlon, also from the Games of New York, secretly. So my friend Rachel, who did grow up with this movie and like watched it as a child, I was like, okay, Rachel, you know, we're in quarantine. I've got a Disney Plus access to that. I'm gonna watch Newsies. I'm finally gonna do it. She's like, okay, when you're done, you have to tell me who your favorite Newsie is, and it can't be Spot Conlon, because Spot Conlon is everybody's favorite Newsie. And I was just like, okay. He doesn't appear to be the first character that I'm meeting in like the first 5 minutes of this movie, so I'll come back to you on this. And then I got to it, and I was like, at the end of the movie, I was just like, oh, Spot is the best Newsie.
Yeah, so, he totally is.
Yeah, when he shows up with his little cane.
His baton,
his little shot. What's
that? Oh, his slingshot.
Slingshots, yes. I'm just like, these kids. Brooklyn! I object, Your Honor, on the grounds of Brooklyn.
With slingshots, yes.
With slingshots. Very funny.
Yeah.
It's just so good. Such a good movie.
I appreciated that there was like this whole cast of characters, and that they were consistent with the personalities of them. Like, you know, Racetrack was like his dream was to have a box with the horses. Yeah. And you know, he was also a familiar face. I've definitely seen his face.
But I don't know.
Who knows? Anyway, but yes, that kid, the kid who plays Racetrack, is currently a known actor somewhere.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good for him. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I love these whole like cast of kooky characters running around sort of things, especially when they take the time to flesh out the individual characters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the kid who had a limp was definitely period appropriate, even if very flinchy to watch from a modern perspective. But yes, in those days, he would absolutely have been called Crutchy.
Yes, that would have been his name. He has a crutch, therefore he is Crutchy. And you're like, well, in 2020, that's not great. But you're like, all right, we didn't have any understanding of anything, both in 1992 and in like 1899, like neither of these eras understands any of that at
right.
all.
Right.
No. But speaking of...
go ahead.
I was just thinking about how funny it is that like there were times where the music would be like, oh, it is 1992 and we're just going to like play some like fun little bongo drums at you. And I was just like, that's so funny.
I'm definitely going to watch it again because I already have some of the songs stuck in my head.
Oh,
unfortunately,
it's
catchy. It is extremely Howard Menken in the back.
Al Menken.
Very that day of Disney that is super catchy, and I was like, well done, sir.
Yeah, like the fact that so Jack can't sing at all. Jack is Christian Bale. He can't sing at all. Davey is like slightly better, but he's not like. He's like the kid in your high school musicals who gets cast because there's three boys. So like he can kind of sing, but you're like, you are not the best singer on this stage, even in like your high school.
Yeah. But like the whole like group ensemble songs, you're wow, y'all have pipes. And then the solos come and you're like, oh, okay then.
You tried. But no. Those are very fun. I really liked the first one they do when they first go on strike. And all the word plays on world, because Pulitzer can stop, owns the world, but he don't own us, because he owns that, the name of the title of the newspaper is The World. And I'm like, that's a fun little lyric. I love your puns.
So,
but,
Yeah, it was a very clever musical, and I am surprised it was marketed to children.
Sometimes things get marketed to children just because children are in them, even though it's not like really, like the adults who are going to watch it are probably going to get a little bit more out of it than the kids.
Because a movie that's essentially about rebellion against child labor and unsafe working conditions.
Yeah. And your
essentially
boss.
At the end, all the child laborers in the city rebel.
Yep. Right. Teddy Roosevelt shows up and it's all solved, but all the children have shown their might as a united working force. But it's very funny.
Pulitzer as a bad guy, like that one gave me a weird like mental, because obviously the only Pulitzer I've ever heard of is the Pulitzer Prize for writing.
No, he kind of sucked, like historically. That is accurate, that he was like not a great dude, because this is actually based on, or semi-based on, like real
roughly,
events
roughly based on roughly, true story.
I mean, there was a strike,
yes,
and Pulitzer was not happy about it, but yeah, so like more or less, but yeah, I don't know how historically accurately the rest of the stuff was, but I mean, whatever, like the costumes probably were not historically accurate, and I just personally speaking don't really like, care about historically accurate costumes. It's not something I focus on, so
no. Yeah.
Just like whatever.
But I wouldn't expect the costumes to be historically accurate any more than I expected them to be accurate in, like, you know, Captain America, the first Captain America movie. It's fair. The same production company.
It's true. That's true. That's true. However, so I think, just thinking about that, if I were to knit one thing inspired by the movie, it would actually be inspired by the fact that I would knit, like, one of those little newsboy caps that all the kids were wearing, because that to me would be, like, the purest shout out to the movie. If you were to knit one thing inspired by the movie, what would it be?
You know, I was at the end, I was like, oh, I really like, I have a pattern for one of those page boy caps. And I've been thinking of making it forever, but it requires you to put a piece of plastic in the bill to stiffen it. And I actually have a yarn called newsprint that I had specifically bought to, and it's patchy black and white, that I'd specifically bought to knit this blasted cap, and I just
oh my god, that's so funny. No, yeah. Now you have to knit it, Monica.
I know, I really do now.
That's so good. I love that for you.
But yes, the page boy cap, especially when Davey like hauls his aunt at the end, because he's never worn one the entire movie.
No.
And I'm like, oh, you've bought in. You are a newsie
now.
He's a newsie now. You're not just a union leader.
No, that's very funny. Yeah. And it's just like, it's like a tale of friendship, which I obviously love. Mm-hmm. And like, they have good chemistry, obviously great. But it's also just like a nice story about, you know, these two kids who are like, we're going to change the world. And like the way that they need each other. Like, you know, obviously like, Jack is the frontman, like the kind of charismatic leader, and then Davey is the brains. And you're like, they don't work without each other. So,
yeah,
that was nice.
Though there was a brief moment where, before I remembered it was a Disney movie, where I was like, oh yeah, Jack is totally gonna betray them, and he's gonna go off and do his own thing, and Davey is gonna take over the revolution. Which is sort of what happened, and I was like, oh no, wait, this is a Disney movie.
This is a Disney movie, actually.
So Jack will be back.
Yeah. Jack will be back.
Yeah.
And the Jack only betrayed them because Pulitzer threatened Davy's family.
It is true. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Friendship. Beautiful friendship. Yeah. No. And like the other thing, again, this is just like me thinking about my family and just like when my grandfather married my grandmother, it was like a thing for my great grandma, because she wasn't a nice Jewish girl. She was not Jewish at all. So like the fact that like Esther is just like, yeah, we're like super happy to have, you know, Davy's little friend from like his like random orphan kid who we've basically adopted and is now dating our daughter, and that's just cool and fine with us. I'm like, but would it have been? Like, you might be okay with him as a friend. Are you okay with him as a son-in-law? I'm like,
I don't think think I realized that they were supposed to be of another culture.
Well, the thing is, the movie, they're very clearly Jewish. Like, their names are Davy, Rachel, Les, Esther, and Meyer. And they're living in a tenement. Their last name is Jacobs. Yeah. And they're living in a tenement in Manhattan in 1899. And I'm like, to me, that's very much a, like, this is an Ashkenazi family who has probably immigrated over in like the last generation or so. And the movie doesn't explicitly ever say that.
Yeah.
Like, not, it's, that's never made explicit in the movie at all. But it's like, to me, I'm like, very clearly, like, this is who these characters are. And I obviously, like, I'm from New York, my family's part Jewish. So I'm like, oh, to me, these are clearly who these people are. But I wonder how many people have like no idea, like, oh yeah, this is like clearly a Jewish family.
Oh, I had no idea whatsoever.
Yeah. Monica, you were just like, no. That flew over my head. No, but they're
completely over my head.
Yeah. No. And like, it is very much, there are ways that it's very much like a movie from 1992, and we play the bongos and we do like little jazz inspired moves in our newsy like get-ups. And then there are ways where like we are giving you clues that this is the story of like, and not exactly an immigrant family, but like the near descendants of immigrant, like Jack's very clearly Irish. Mm-hmm. Davy is clearly Jewish. A lot of the kids are supposed to be Irish. And it's like a very clear time point of turn of, it's weird to say turn of the century now, because it's now two centuries
turn
ago.
Turn of the last century, I guess.
Yeah, turn of the last century, like New York immigrant family. And that's, and again, this is me reading my family into it in a little bit, but that's always what I like, that's what I see when I watch that movie. So, yep. And also,
it was extremely charming.
It was very charming. I also liked how Denton came in and he was just like, I have 30 sons now. I am responsible for paying for their lunch and for their jail
fines. Bail.
Their bail. He paid all their bail. The movie also just doesn't cover how this man has so much money.
Well, right. That's what I was wondering. I was like, $5 was a lot in those days.
It was a lot of money. And he's just like, these are my sons, and I guess I'm paying bail for like 30 children.
Yes.
So I was like, all right, well, that doesn't make sense, but it's a Disney movie, so the finances don't have to make sense.
I admit, one of the other moments of, oh no, oh wait, this is a Disney movie, they're going to be okay, is that, you know, these kids are on strike and they're living hand to mouth, essentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How exactly are they being fed? And I was like, you know what? Nope, it's a Disney movie. Stop.
It's a Disney movie.
Yeah.
It's fine. They have food. How? We don't answer that. Denton is feeding them. How is Denton feeding them? Who knows? Who could say?
Right.
So. But he does get some very good songs, like The King of New York.
Yes.
Great song. Yeah. And the other thing about this movie is, like, the other thing about Denton that I found really effective and, like, find more effective as I've rewatched it a couple times is the way that having kind of a position and having a place within an already established institution can be used as leverage against him to be like, no, you might be on the side of these kids, but you're a newspaper man. Mm-hmm. And if you continue to cover this strike, we will fire you. So I think it's in some ways like very smart about the details of how power is used.
Mm-hmm. And I remember his line in particular about, they don't have to fire you.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, they're going to send him into a war zone instead.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah. And like the part where all the newspaper men are sitting at the table with the mayor being like, so we want the strike to end. Like, we are all powerful men who are in competition with each other. And Pulitzer like pretty directly calls that out. He's like, you know, me and whatever the other guy in the newspaper wars were, we don't see eye to eye, we like cut each other's throat in a second, but as businessmen, we have an understanding. Mm-hmm. And just like all those men sitting around being like, we are wealthy men who wield power via the publication of papers and can exert pressure on the mayor and the police force to basically act as our security and basically like work in our economic interest to shut down these kids, which is like very, I don't think, and subtle might be a little bit much for the way that Pulitzer is acting, but which is a very interesting way for a Disney movie to present power. Yeah. So it's very interesting because you only ever see the cops as like security forces for rich people to like beat up strikers.
Right.
Which is, again, it's 1992 and a Disney film.
Right. Well, like when the bullies are all gathered, like have the kids surrounded, mm-hmm. there's a cop right there, right outside. Yeah. And Denton's like, aren't you going to stop them? And the cop is like, no.
No.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, wow. Okay.
Wow. Then. Yeah. Because in certain ways, it's very much a Disney film. And in other ways, you're like, really? For a Disney film, this is what they're going to do? Okay.
Right.
So.
It did not have the social implications that it does in 2020, that it did in 1992, I suspect.
I mean, I'm trying to remember because the LA riots, when were the LA riots? I have to Google, because they might have just been around that point. It would have been like very, like 92, yeah, so the LA riots were in 1992.
Oh.
So I think.
That's timely.
Yeah. So I think there were certain like echoes because the Rodney King riots had just happened and that tape had just come out of like Rodney King being beaten by the LAPD. So I think it might have had like, it might not have been this, again, I was like 5 when this movie came out. So I don't really have memories of what the news was super like when I was 5. but I do think there would have been a certain level of skepticism about the police that would have been present in the conversation given what had just happened. So maybe not like 2020 when we're all like, maybe we should get rid of police departments. Hmm? But like, definitely like there is something wrong with the police. So
yeah.
But it was a wild movie. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad you liked it.
I found it very enjoyable and I am very glad you recommended it because I probably would have just sort of flipped past it if I had just seen it on Disney. So
yeah, no. So
thank you for the recommendation.
Really, I am the downstream messenger for my friend Rachel who's like, this is an important movie. You have to love it. Spot Coblin is your favorite character, but you need to pick another one. And I'm just like,
fair enough. Fair enough. Who did you pick?
I think my favorite non-Spot newsie is Racetrack. Just like that kid being like, where's my cigar? You'll steal another. Just like, I'm not going to sing at you because I can't sing. Me and Christian Bale, we're the same really. but it's just like, and I think he's the narrator at the beginning.
Oh, you know what? I think you're right. That's it. Because it's not Jack. The voice is higher, yes.
Yeah. And it's just like this very funny little child. And you're like, aw. He wants his cigar and his horses. My grandpa from the Bronx also loves his cigar and his horses. My grandpa's like significantly younger than these people would be because, you know, he's like 40 years younger. But like, I'm like, oh, I know him. This is my grandpa. Yeah. So, yeah. So, combination of your project and this movie, do you think it was a good combo?
This project was a garter stitch brim and then 3x1 cables with a couple of plain rows in between, and it was pretty good for this particular movie.
Nice.
Yeah, because even the cable rows were not that involving, and this was the kind of movie where you could definitely look away at long points and still find it extremely enjoyable and not feel like you missed anything. There was definitely nothing subtle about this movie.
It's not a subtle movie. No. The Age of Brass and Steel. I want to call it steel, but that's incorrect. Age of Brass and Steam is just like a triangular shawl with like one row of lace eyelets every couple of rows. So it was also another like relatively low thinking and easy to look away when I needed to, you know, count on the eyelets. So it was a good combo for me as well. All right. Well, that I think wraps us up for this month's podcast. And then next month, we will actually be watching something that, Monica, you have read the books of.
I have never read all the books, every single thing that Julia Quinn has written. She was one of my favorite authors when I was in high school, I think.
So we'll be watching the first episode of the new Shonda Rhimes series, Bridgerton, based on Monica's high school favorite. So see you next week. Bye.
Bye.